Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. It has fallen to myself, for those of you who don't know me, Francis Robertson, a member of our worship team, to lead the service this morning, as Amos, our minister, is currently on annual leave in Dubai. He's probably not getting any better weather. To our congregation in the church, any visitors in our midst, our virtual worshippers joining with us online, and those viewing a recording of the service at a later date, we extend a very warm welcome. It is good to have you worshipping with us, and we trust that you will find true friendship and fellowship in our midst this morning, be it physical or virtual. After the service, you are warmly invited to join us for tea and coffee in the church hall through the link corridor. For our friends on Zoom, sadly, you are requested to provide your own refreshments. Unfortunately, we have not as yet been able to convince Diane of the merits of making manna drink deliveries on her e-bike, but we're trying. In a moment of silence, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your paths. We have come to church this morning, not through a duty or obligation, but through a personal desire to give thanks, worship, and praise to the Lord, our God, for his countless blessings bestowed upon our lives. So let us therefore gladly sing our first hymn of praise from CH4, number 257, Singing We Gladly Worship the Lord Together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Hear, Lord, safe with you in the stillness and sanctity of your presence, we rest in your peace. Help us to make sense of the many experiences, feelings, and emotions we have encountered throughout this past week. Forgive us for the times when we have not heeded and responded to the pleas of others, for the times when we have placed the needs of ourselves before your service, for the times when we have not followed your perfect sacrificial example. Lord, we come before you with humble hearts, acknowledging the doubts and fears that linger within us, and the moments when our commitment fails and our faith wavers. In the stillness of this sacred space, we confess our shortcomings and seek your forgiveness. Allow us now to rest in your presence and be still. Help us to surrender all that we are to you, our failings, our concerns, our hopes, and our fears, in the knowledge that you alone can restore the penitent heart, re-energize the weary body, and redeem us from our sins through your loving Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we stand again and sing this time a mission praise 302, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ.
Oh,
Good morning, boys and girls. Would you like to come down to the front? Great. It's good to see you this morning. How are you all? You're good. Enjoying the holidays? Wish you were back in school? Okay. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it. If someone came up to you and said something fantastic, would you accept it? Would you have some doubt? Or do you think you might just believe him? If someone came up and said something fantastic, would you actually want proof? Or would you just believe them? You just believe them? You wouldn't want proof. Ah, we've got some doubters on this side, some believers on the other side. Okay, I want to test that. Now, in this box, as you can hear, I've got nothing. You believe me? Oh, no. You think there's something in the box? Okay, I'll open it and let's see. Oh, it's just as I said, nothing. There was nothing in the box. But you didn't believe me. Now, what about this second box? What if I said there was an elephant in this box? You'd believe me, wouldn't you? No? No? Yes? No? Why wouldn't you believe me? It's too small to have an elephant. Okay. So do I have believers or doubters? Doubting, 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 doubting. Okay. Shall we take a look? You're obviously not going to believe me, so let's just have a little look. Oh, and inside is an elephant. I didn't say it was a real one. Now, you're not really believing me, are you? I'm not very convincing. What about the third box? If I told you in this box there was something that is 146 million years old. Now, that's much older than all your ages added together. And it's much older than me. And it's probably much older than the ages of all the choir. Okay, the judges are out on that one. Do you believe me? That in here was something that lived when the dinosaurs lived? Yes. 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 Okay. What I have is a little creature that lived in the shallow seas. And then, when it died, it fell to the bottom of the sea. Layers of mud continued to fall to the bottom, and it was eventually compacted. And then the land lifted and the sea level dropped, and it compressed into a rock. And so what we have is an ammonite, a fossil, which is 146 million years old. Those interested, that's the Lower Jurassic period, and it comes from Madagascar. So, generally speaking, you just don't believe what I say is in the box, unless you have proof. Now, what were we celebrating over Easter? What had happened? Give me a summary of the events. Yes? That's right. Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose again. And after he rose, he went to visit all his disciples. Well, all except one who was called Thomas. He wasn't there on that occasion. And Jesus appeared amongst his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And then he began to tell them of the events and the future. Now, the other disciples bumped into Thomas, and they told Thomas about it, how they'd seen the risen Lord Jesus, but Thomas wouldn't believe them. It was just like yourself with the boxes. You weren't going to believe unless you saw for yourself. And that's what Thomas asked. He said, "I'm not going to believe in a risen Lord Jesus unless I can see the pierced wounds in his hands and the torn flesh where the spear entered his side." Now, Jesus did come alongside Thomas and gave him the opportunity to feel the holes in his hand and to see the spear wound in his side. So, in life, however, there are sometimes some things you've got to accept. Some things you won't always be able to see the evidence directly for. That is called faith. When you believe in something, but you can't see it or touch it or be part of it, that is faith. And we are all members of the Christian faith. We come to church, driven by that faith, to celebrate the fact that we are all the children of God. That also means that we have to trust. And we have to trust in Jesus. And we have to trust and follow Jesus' ways, because we can no longer see Jesus, but he did leave behind. Can you remember who the third member of the Trinity is? There was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, so the Holy Spirit is still with us and prompts us and guides us and supports us. So while we can't see God or Jesus directly, we can see the works of the Holy Spirit in ourselves and in other people. So have no doubts. Don't seek to question and challenge, but just accept and have trust in Jesus Christ. Shall we say a short prayer? Dear God, thank you for being ever present in our lives and for protecting and reassuring us in times of weakness and of doubt. Help us to grow in our faith and learn more about you and your love for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to sing the children's hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know."
First reading this morning is taken from John chapter 14, reading from verses 1 to 7. That's John chapter 14, reading from verses 1 to 7. Jesus' parting words to his disciples. Do not let your hearts be distressed. You believe in God, believe also in me. There are many dwelling places in my Father's house. Otherwise, I would have told you, because I am going away to make ready a place for you. And if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be too. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus replied, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you will know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And our second reading is also taken from John. John chapter 20, reading from verses 19 to 31. John chapter 20, 19 to 31. Jesus' appearance to the disciples. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered together and locked the doors of the place because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And after he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained. The response of Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he replied, Unless I see the wounds from the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the wounds from the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe it. 8 days later, the disciples were again together in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and examine my hands. Extend your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue in your unbelief, but believe. Thomas replied to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are the people who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God for these readings from his most holy book. And our next hymn is number 432, How Often We Like Thomas.
Thank you.
Before I start my sermon, I would simply like to acknowledge the work of our choir and our choir mistress, Hannah, a beautiful rendition of that particular anthem. How often we, like Thomas, need proof before we trust. Lord Jesus, friend of doubters, come speak your truth to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our mind, and the meditation of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In the liturgical calendar, today is known as Low Sunday, closing the octave of Easter, the eight-day period following Easter Sunday. Traditionally, it is a day when we are all generally feeling a little subdued, dispirited. After the high feast of Easter and all the chocolate that we've eaten, the joy and jubilation felt when we revisited the empty tomb and celebrated the resurrection of the risen Lord Jesus have now dissipated, replaced with feelings of regret and despondency. Today is also called St. Thomas Sunday, like the earlier dedicated name of this church. And you will all have heard of St. Thomas, of course, otherwise known as Doubting Thomas. Hardly a great inspiring title for such a worthy apostle. But sadly, it is a common human practice to label certain people by traits, characteristics, or even feelings. Stormin' Norman, Old Blue Eyes Sinatra, Beefy Botham, Calamity Jane, Egg Wiener Curry, and Teflon Tony, being a few examples of this cruel approach. We often judge people by one feature, one characteristic, and particularly one mistake. And what's more, we and the world never let them forget it. In the Bible, when we think of King David, we think of his sinful failings, forgetting about the great man and leader he ultimately became. When we think of Jacob, we think of his deceitful ways and how he stole his brother's birthright, not his later transformation to become the forefather of all Israel. And when we think of Peter denying Christ three times, we really think of Peter the rock upon whom the church was built. In Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, Mark Antony delivers these lines about Brutus. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. This is undoubtedly true for Thomas. No matter what great faith he expressed, we remember him, sadly, because of his doubt. Today, when someone is skeptical, we call that person a doubting Thomas. In reality, Thomas was one of the most steadfast and loyal apostles among the 12. Which gives rise to the question, how many times have we wrongly and hastily judged someone based on some trait, characteristic, or perceived limitations? In truth, we don't know a great deal about Thomas, also known as Didymus, meaning twin. He He only appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke when listed with the other apostles. And his name only occurs three times in John's Gospel. We first meet him in John chapter 11, verse 16. Let us also go, that we may die with him. He was referring to the death of Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus. The other disciples did not want to go, or for Jesus to go to Bethany. They felt it was far too hostile and dangerous. But here is Thomas at the vanguard and ready to go with his teacher to visit his deceased friend and share his fate, even if that means death. More loyal Thomas than doubting Thomas. He would rather face death with his Lord than to live without him. Next, we meet him in chapter 14, verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? This time, Thomas is asking the question the other disciples dared not ask. Jesus is telling them that they shouldn't be troubled, for Jesus already knows what he is to face. But to have faith and believe in God, because in his house there are many dwelling places, and if he were to leave them, then they would know how to follow. Not now, but later. You can imagine the other disciples seated around the table, nodding sagely, as if understanding what Jesus was saying. But Thomas was the one who said, "Hang on a moment. What on earth do you mean? How can we actually know the way? You haven't told us where the way leads." Thomas was confusing what Jesus was saying with an actual physical place. And that question leads to one of the best known and most loved verses in the Bible. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Doubting Thomas? No, more like honest Thomas. The Thomas who won't just sit there and nod sagely, but will ask the questions that needed to be asked. And we meet him for the third and final time in today's second reading read by John. In chapter 20, sadly, where Thomas gets that nickname, Doubting Thomas. Thomas was not willing to believe that Jesus was risen because he had not seen him for himself. Hearsay was not sufficient for him. He needed concrete, physical, and personal proof. Just like the children in the boxers game earlier, not willing to accept my word. The previous two times we've met Thomas, he's demonstrated that he is not fearful nor doubting, but loyal and honest. We don't know where Thomas was the previous Resurrection Sunday. We're not told. But you can easily recognize that he must have been distraught. This loyal and honest man wasn't there because his world had been totally shattered and torn apart. His heart was broken. His teacher was dead. So now he's being told about the resurrection of Jesus. He's being told about the presence of the risen Lord, the power, the peace, and the provisions made by the Lord. All these things happened on the day Jesus revealed himself to the other disciples. That's a lot to have missed out on, and hardly something that is easily told. It's something you just have to see for yourself. It's easy to see why he responded the way he did. I don't believe you. Why should he just take their word? He had not placed his fingers in the mark of the nails and had not placed his hand on the side of Jesus where the spear had torn into his flesh. For one last time, Jesus graciously responds. Once again, Jesus is there to hold the hand of this loyal, honest, yet questioning follower. He appears to all the disciples, coming through the locked doors, saying, "Peace be with you." He then encourages Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And you know what? Thomas does. "My Lord and my God," he responds. So, doubting Thomas? No. Altogether more like faithful Thomas. Jesus did not condemn Thomas for his doubts. He blames no one for wanting to be sure. Jesus knew that once Thomas had fought his way through the wilderness of his doubts, he would be the surest man in all Christendom. Jesus never says you must have no doubts, but rather you must struggle with your doubts until you reach certainty. Thomas's faith became strong and vibrant, and tradition has it that he took the gospel message to India, where his influence is still celebrated to this day. For me, the story of Thomas through John's account is one that I wish more Christians would examine and engage with. It's a story of someone who is not afraid to ask difficult questions, someone who is not afraid to challenge in order to seek the truth. Thomas is someone who does not leave his intellect at the door when he encounters Jesus. He is a man who embraces his faith and yet continues to question. John's account gives us several insights into Thomas. So, what can we learn from his character and behavior as Christians in today's increasingly secular world, rife with deception, propaganda, and misinformation? Three key learning points become apparent. The first, doubt can impair our ability to believe. Secondly, faith does not depend on tangible proof. And thirdly, God wants us to believe in him, even if we don't see him. So firstly, doubt can impair our ability to believe and hinder our progress on the unique pathway that Christ has prepared for each and every one of us. John's account tells us that Thomas wasn't there when the risen Lord Jesus first showed himself to his disciples. And when the disciples who saw the Lord told him that Jesus is alive, he simply couldn't believe them. Think about this. Thomas had walked, had slept, had eaten, and had witnessed many healings and miracles alongside the other disciples in the company of his Lord. Yet his doubt rendered him unable to believe their testimony. And furthermore, he was unable to reconcile recent events with what the Lord Jesus had previously told them all concerning his forthcoming suffering and his death. His doubt disabled his ability to accept and to believe. He was rendered hesitant, uncertain, disbelieving. In the same way, our own personal doubts, when allowed, will hinder our ability to believe, erode our trust, weaken our faith, and expose ourselves to attack by dark worldly forces. We must remain firm, resolute, resistant to all potential negative influences which could give rise to doubt. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Ephesians 6, verse 13. And we can also be reassured and guided through our call to worship this morning from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust and submit. Accept and believe. Secondly, faith does not depend on tangible proof. We also read in the passage how Thomas said that unless he saw proof of Christ's resurrection, he simply wouldn't believe it. Hebrews 11, verse 1, however, tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we are able to believe in God who is unseen, yet, as we discuss with the children, is true. Furthermore, without faith, we won't be able to see God's glory. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Our God is faithful to his word, his countless blessings in our life, his unconditional love shown towards us all, his answers to our prayers, his healing hand when we fall ill, the gift of his Son, and the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit are all the tangible proof we could ever need of God's existence. The evidence is compelling and indisputable. Faith does not depend on tangible proof. And thirdly and finally, God wants us to believe in him even if we don't see him. While it was appropriate for Christ to show himself to Thomas and give him proof that he is alive, we later read of his desire for people to believe and put their trust in him, even if they haven't yet seen him. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus knew that people were doubters, filled with unbelief. Time and time again, he knew they needed to see miracles to accept what he was offering. Then, when he was no longer physically present on the earth, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, the third member of the Holy Trinity, was sent by God to intercede in our lives on his behalf. And whilst we cannot see God himself, we can surely feel and see the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives and in the lives of others. For all Christians, it is not to see is to believe, but rather to believe is to see. From 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. God does not have to be seen to be believed. So what has loyal, honest, and faithful Thomas taught us in terms of maintaining a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus? Firstly, to trust in him and have no doubts. Secondly, to have faith in him without the constant need for testing and seeking proof. And finally, to have belief in his continuous, unseen presence in our lives through the interactions of the Holy Spirit. Trust, faith, belief. In closing, there is, however, another important and underlying lesson to be found in today's scripture reading, beyond the doubting nature of Thomas. And it would be remiss of me to ignore it. This concerns those fear-filled disciples, locked in the room, trembling with fear, wondering what it all means for them and for their future. And this is the story about each and every one of us, trying to live a life worthy of our Lord and Savior, struggling with doubt, weighed down with fear, and constantly falling short of what we know he expects from us. And it is the story of how Jesus comes to us in the midst of our doubts and our fears, our sin and our guilt, to offer each and every one of us those simple but powerful words of grace, of mercy, and forgiveness. Peace be with you, says our risen Lord to us all, declaring the peace which surpasses all understanding, the peace which the world cannot give, the peace that can only come from our crucified and risen Lord, and the peace that comes when we most need it. Again and again, in the midst of our doubts and fears, and in the midst of our sins and our failings, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." Again and again, he comes to us and says, "Do not doubt, but believe." Again and again, Jesus forgives us, breathes new life into us, and offers us the gift of new life in him through the promise of his Holy Spirit. And again, our risen Lord reminds us of our mission to go and share the peace, the joy, and the hope of this new life with our world that struggles to find lasting peace, shared joy, or promised hope. Again and again, the risen Lord Jesus comes to us to give us peace, to give us new life, to forgive our sin, and to gently remind us not to doubt, but to believe. May the peace of our risen Lord be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we can be so weak and sinful in our separation from you. Sometimes we don't trust others, or seeds of doubt can begin to creep in. Lord, please allow the Holy Spirit to show us the truth and convict our heart of the evidence of your goodness and your glory. Remove our doubt and increase our belief. Like Thomas, help us to move away from our unbelief, to shrug off all our worries and concerns, and simply rest in you and believe. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. We will continue by singing hymn 506, All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon. Let us bring our prayers of thanksgiving and dedication for the offering. Lord, we thank you for your enduring faithfulness, that you are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We submit this offering to you today. With it, we worship you and offer our whole selves in service to you. Use them both to grow your kingdom here in Newport and elsewhere around the world, bearing witness to your never-ending glory. Amen. Let us bring to God our prayers for others, ourselves, the church, and the world, our prayers of intercession. There is a prompt, Lord, in your mercy, and the response is, hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our concerns for ourselves, your church, and the world in which we live. Lord, you are already aware of our unique personal burdens in life, those things which we cannot or will not resolve or release. Help us now to submit them to you, that we may become more able to freely walk the personal pathway that you would have us follow. We pray for relationships within our families, within this congregation, and in the wider community. May we forever be supportive of one another, sharing burdens and responsibilities, lightening the load for each other on life's often tortuous journey. May our trust in you never waver, Lord, and our faith to follow you never falter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church, Lord, its unity and survival in an increasingly secular world. We pray for our minister, Amos, and our cluster, as we learn to share diminishing resources and worship together. May differences in worship style and practice be acknowledged and accepted. And may the love of Jesus Christ be the bond that brings us together in unity of purpose and witness. We pray that your example and guidance may not be ridiculed and cast out of our national school curriculum, but become once again the foundation stone of a well-established plan for a life in all its fullness. We thank you for our connection with our local school and the work being undertaken there by Chris, our youth worker, and his team. We pray for our brothers and sisters challenged and persecuted for worshipping you, O Lord, around the world. Guard and defend them, enlighten their persecutors, and bring about tolerance and a freedom to worship wherever in the world they may be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your created world and the diversity of both habitat and inhabitant, where difference or culture, belief or skin color promotes suspicion and leads to division and hostility. We pray for peace and unity throughout the world. In all areas of conflict, let there be a negotiated resolution and a long-standing peace. Where natural disasters have struck and people have been displaced, let there be continued global support to rebuild homes, relationships, and livelihoods providing a secure and sustainable future for all refugees. We pray for our planet, Lord. We have failed in our duty as custodians to watch over it, causing industrial pollution, forest burning, and the dumping of toxic waste, turning the land, air, and sea into hostile environments for the animals, birds, and fishes you provided to share your earth with us. We pray that governments throughout the world may heed the concerns of our earth scientists by promoting policies and practices to arrest the causes of climate change and minimize the effects of global warming. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We bring before you, Lord, all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness at this time. Comfort them and strengthen and support all who care for them. We thank you for the skills of our medical teams, our surgeons, anaesthetists, dentists, nurses, and care staff who deliver the very best of health care, emulating your loving and healing hand. We pray that through the lonely times and in their pain, all in anguish will keep their eyes fixed on you, and you will watch over them and give them the courage they need to endure the suffering and discomfort, ultimately leading them through to a full recovery and rehabilitation. Lord, we pray that you are able to provide solace and inspiration to those who feel detached from you at this moment, those who feel that you may not be present in their daily lives or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able to once again experience your ever-present and glorifying nature and realize that you had never really left them, but were always there waiting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, in the stillness of our hearts, we bring before you those known to us in need of your healing and compassionate hand. Holy God, who reigns on high, surrounded by those who have served you faithfully across the generations, please welcome into your eternal presence all those who have passed away recently, and help us to draw on the stories of their witness to inspire our own witness and journeys of faith. Heavenly Father, comfort those who are approaching the end of their days on earth. Bless them and reassure them of the peace and glory that awaits them in your eternal heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our closing hymn, let us reinforce our trust and look forward to the coming days as we sing "When We Walk with the Lord." May the same Spirit that breathed peace into the locked room breathe forgiveness and renewal into our hearts today. Empower us to go forth with courage, sharing the peace, the joy, and the hope that comes from your resurrection, embodying the love that casts out fear. In the name of the risen Christ, who continues to transform doubt into faith and darkness into everlasting light.
Thank you.